And John's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself and each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in the manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
Right, who's brought something along to share this morning? What have you got? Let's have a look. Oh my goodness. My Pirate Adventure. It's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that. Is it Pirate Pete?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
And what else? And what's that? Pirate.
Yeah.
Ship.
Yeah.
Are you going to play with that in the bath? Would Mummy let you? Is it a wind-up one? Oh, it's got wheels on, look. Oh dear, what are they? They're chocolates. Yes. I had some money in my stocking this morning. It was chocolate. That's lovely, isn't it? Who else then? New scarf. We can stand up and show everybody, Susan. Go on. Is that from Father Christmas?
No, it's from my friend Bella.
Oh, friend Bella. Okay, moving on. They all turn up on Christmas Day, don't they? Anybody else? No? Oh, no. Look, what's this? Is this hissing Sid? Look. Oh dear, you wouldn't want to meet that on a dark night, would you? And? Oh, look. Isn't that good? There. That's excellent. Who's a bit shy? Are you being a bit shy? What have you got? Lots of things. I can see. Oh, dear. Have you got a snake as well? Oh, dear. Hope it's not live. It's dead. Is it? Oh, very dead. That's all right. Nobody else brought anything? Dear, oh dear. Hold on.
Season's greeting.
Sounds a bit American to me. Once more. I couldn't answer that question, but I did get a stocking this morning, so... And I bought one or two bits along. What have you got, Tom? You got any new toys? No, not yet. Well, I bought a few things along out of my stocking this morning. This one arrived a little while ago by Mr. Amazon, and I opened it. So, Dickie Birds, 80 not out. I shall enjoy reading that. I'm not sure where my wife got this one from, and it's not very PC. The Virgin Mary's Got Knits. So that'll be that's going to be an interesting read. I'm not sure. Is it? Well, I know Gervais Finn, so it must be all right. And I got these. Martin's Magic Tees to guarantee lots of holes in one. I don't think so. To go with my new golf clubs, my retirement present. And for those of you that might have seen certain pictures on Facebook, it's a wind-up at work. Don't get worried. I'm not going to be bringing chaos to the streets of Enfield with my lollipop. So please be reassured. And I have had permission from the road safety officer to use some of their equipment. But there we go. We'll say no more. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Well, actually, it's a prequel. So it's in the good tradition of Star Wars. Last Sunday evening, I told you a story about... who? George the Postman. That's right. So this morning we have George the Postman prequel. So this is before last Sunday's story. All right? Now, this was when George was actually doing a post round. And I didn't really tell you very much about George last Sunday. George never married. And he'd worked for the post office for quite a long time. And he decided to move down to the West Country because he thought there'd be nice West Country women down there, you know, of the landed sort with plenty of money, and he might be able to find himself a good wife. Well, as it turned out, he didn't. But one of the reasons he ended up working in the sorting office was because he had a dodgy knee. Anyway, one morning he was out doing his rounds, and for anybody that knows that area of the West Country, it's all a bit up and down. And not only he'd got a sack, but he'd got one of those trolley things that, you know, that you see them pushing along now. And he was struggling up the hill and his knee was giving him real jip. So, and it just so happened that his house, the place where he lived, was on his round. So he thought, God, my knee's giving me so much jip, I'm going to have to stop for a minute. So he pulled up outside his house, went, had a cup of tea, sat down. And because, guess what happened, can't you? He fell asleep. So there's George asleep in the armchair. By the time he woke up, it was far too late to go and finish delivering his letters. So he thought, well, nobody's going to miss their post for a day. So anyway, he emptied the rest of his sack and his trolley into a plastic bag, one of those big black bin liners, left it in the hallway. The following day, very similar thing happened. And he was moaning and groaning that he was getting more letters to deliver. And when he looked through it, you know, most of it was junk mail, you know, circulars, all that sort of stuff. Strange demands for money, begging letters, you know, all the stuff that piles through your letterbox. He said, nobody gets any proper letters these days. So anyway, another black plastic sack appeared. Well, this went on for a little while, and a few black plastic sacks started to appear in his hallway. So George thought, well, I ought to have a little sift through it to see if there's anything interesting. So he started to do that. But I tell you what, he didn't half use to fill up his blue recycling bin quite quickly. But then he started to moan. He said, nobody sends anything interesting these days. He said, Amazon have got helicopters and their own courier service, and there's all these, nobody uses the Royal Mail, only to send out junk stuff. But anyway, he used to find one or two little interesting bits. But it was quite clever, you see. He delivered some mail, but kept some back. So people didn't actually notice that they hadn't received their mail, unless obviously it was a final demand or a bank statement or perhaps results from a blood test that somebody was waiting for. Anyway, George was able to, you know, weed out one or two interesting bits. All the rest went in the recycling. Anyway, to cut a long story short, one day he was sifting through the post and his black bags, and he noticed a very brightly coloured envelope addressed with very neat writing on the front. And he happened to know that the person, the recipient of this, had moved. And he hadn't been clever to leave a forwarding address to have his post sent on. So George thought, well, I'll open this letter and see if it's anything interesting. And in the letter was this. Dear Erskine, forgive my impertinence, but my daughter found your address for me on Facebook, whatever that is. You may not remember me, but we attended school together in Peterborough. After 39 years, I can finally admit that I fancied you then. I not only admired your confidence with which you managed your difficulties, but also the shrewdness with which you used your hardship to your advantage. My daughter claims that you are single and describes your photograph as roughly handsome. My husband died some years ago. Would you care to meet up? I'm attending a film festival down near Newquay the first week in November. If I don't hear from you, perhaps your life is too full to accommodate a virtual stranger. And I take no offence. Best regards, Deirdre St. James, the girl in the little red hat. Well, that's a Ponzi name, thought George. Deirdre? Perhaps you wouldn't recognise Erskine after four decades. I think I might describe myself as roughly handsome. Anyway, as he looked through the letter a bit further, he saw that the name of this person was Erskine Espadrille. That's even worse. So anyway, George thought to himself, well, it might be a bit of a wheeze to write back, mightn't it? So anyway, he wrote back a letter. Dear Deirdre, really nice to hear from you after all these years. It would be great for us to if we could meet up. And he set a plan in motion, a bit like meeting under the clock at Waterloo. He said, if you bring something red, I'll be able to recognise you and we'll meet in the caff down just outside the cinema in Newquay. So George went along, sat in the caff and waited. And this rather well-kept, stylish woman with neat, short, grey hair walked into the cafe. Under her arm, a rolled-up newspaper and a bright red handkerchief, a signal, a token of the little red hat that perhaps she wore when once at school. So George introduced himself as Erskine. He said, I'm sure you probably don't recognise me after all these years. And Deirdre said, well, you look vaguely familiar. Anyway, they spent quite a long time chatting together, arranged to meet up. They went to some of the films at the film festival. They had nice walks along the cliffs. And then George finally plucked up the courage to invite her back to his house. But then he thought, oh, this could be a bit dodgy, because really my name's Erskine Espadrille, not George the Postman. So he carefully tried to disguise things at home. Deirdre came round and they sat there chatting. Deirdre noticed one or two rather large black plastic sacks in the hallway. And George explained that he was a postman and that sometimes, you know, not all the post got delivered. And as the evening went on, they chatted and enjoyed one another's company. George said, well, I've got another confession to make. And Deirdre said, oh, what's that? He said, well, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not Erskine Espadrille. I'm George, the postman. And Deirdre said, well, I noticed that from the very beginning, because Erskine had a partly deformed right hand. And although prosthetics are really good these days, they're not that good. So she knew straight away that you weren't who you said you were. She said, but never mind. I've really enjoyed your company. And then George also confessed how he had opened Deirdre's letter. Anyway, together they sat down after pudding and they went through all these black sacks. They sorted out all the junk mail. They sorted out all the proper mail. And slowly, each and every day, Deirdre and George got to one another one better. And also, George began to deliver all the back mail. Because none of the people on his round really complained. They were actually just grateful to finally get their mail. And this story has a wonderful happy ending because George and Deirdre married and lived happily ever after.